Hi everyone, this is Jack Lynch, radio and TV producer for Renewal Ministries. We will soon be switching our podcast to a new server, and this will require some action from some of you. We will switch to the new server for our podcast beginning the week of Monday, November 12th, 2018. Starting that week, if you don't continue to get the latest episodes of the shows as you normally do, you will need to make a simple change. First, delete the current podcast for the show and then resubscribe to it as you did originally. It's that simple, and you won't lose any episodes. For any questions or problems, please call me, Jack Lynch, at 734-662-1730, extension 125. That's Jack Lynch at 734-662-1730, extension 125, or email me at jlynch@renewalministries.net. And thank you for listening to the show.
So cool. Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. We take a look now at the first reading, letter of St. Paul to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. Brothers and sisters, have among yourselves the same attitude that is also yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness and found human in appearance. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Look at what God did for us. Do I begin to understand who I really am, that God died for me? In Christ, God died that I might have eternal life. I cannot attain eternal life by myself. I can't. But God did it for me in Christ. This should make us grateful every moment, every day. I know that sounds impossible, but the more that gratitude for what God has done for us in Christ takes over us, then I understand Paul's words. Let every knee bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's our call. That's what God wants to do for us. That's what he wants to give us, is that kind of heart, that kind of joy, that kind of hope. Psalm 22, I will praise you, Lord, in the assembly of your people. I will praise you, Lord, in the assembly of your people. May that be true for us. May that be true for us. May we, wherever we are, seek to praise the Lord. All the ends of the earth shall remember and return to the Lord. And turn to the Lord as well. All the families of the nations shall bow down before him. For dominion is the Lord, and he rules the nations. To him alone shall bow down all who sleep in the earth. To him my soul shall live. My descendants shall serve him. Let the coming generation be told of the Lord, that they may proclaim to a people yet to be born the justice he has shown. Are you speaking to your children and your grandchildren? Are you praying for them if you can't speak with them? Personally, it's most wonderful if you can both speak and pray. But the prayers are powerful. Pray for them that they may come those who are born but young and those yet to be born, the justice he has shown, the kindness he has shown, the mercy he has shown. That's what we want to do, brothers and sisters. That's how we want to live, that we believe, that in our lives we believe what he has done for us. And it as a result, we end up praising him in the assembly of all the people. We can't keep quiet in a certain sense. There's prudence and there's politeness, but our whole being shouts our gratitude to God for what he has done for us in Christ. Ask God to give you that kind of zeal and that kind of desire. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, verses 15 to 24. One of those at table with Jesus said to him, "Blessed is the one who shall dine in the kingdom of God." And he replied to him, "A man gave a great dinner in which he invited many. And when the time for the dinner came, he dispatched his servant to say to those invited, 'Come, everything is now ready. Come, everything is now ready.' But one by one, they all began to excuse themselves. The first said to him, 'I have purchased a field and I must go to examine it. I ask you, consider me excused.' And another said, 'I have purchased 5 yoke of oxen and am on my way to evaluate them. I ask you, consider me excused.' And another said, 'I have just married a woman and therefore I cannot come.' The servant went and reported this to his master. Then the master of the house, in a rage, commanded his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in here the poor and the crippled, the blind and the lame.' The servant reported, 'Sir, your orders have been carried out and still there is room.' And the master then ordered his servants, 'Go out to the highways and the hedgerows and make people come in that my home may be filled. For I tell you, none of those who were invited will taste my dinner.'" In other words, brothers and sisters, we make some things more important than God. That's what we do. "Oh, I'd love to do this, or I'd love to do that, but I have another commitment. I can't do it." Brothers and sisters, is God first in our lives? Is God truly first? Is he our Lord? Do we give him the homage that belongs to him? Do we give him the place of top priority in our days? That is, do we pray? Do we go to Mass as often as we can? Do we worship him? If we can't, are we still praising God in the circumstances that are provided for us, given our other responsibilities? Is God first in our lives as much as possible? We don't want to hear him say, "Go out to the highways and hedgerows and make people come in to take your place so that my house may be filled." Do we want God to do that for us? Brothers and sisters, he is our Lord. He should be receiving the very best that we have to give him. The very best that we have to give him. I know other responsibilities. I understand that. But look at your schedule and say, is there any way that God could have a more important place in my life right now, in my daily life? Ask him. Ask him. Be open to that possibility. And if it's clear that there isn't, then you decide, how am I going to worship him when I'm getting in the car to go here, when I have to be at the hospital, when I have to care for my elderly parent, when I'm getting in and out of cars, when I'm walking through doorways? Jesus, be with me. Jesus, I give you my life. Jesus, give me what I need for this next hour. Some days are like that, depending on our responsibilities. But does he have a place? Don't excuse and don't say, "I'm too busy." If you're too busy for God, you're too busy and something else, unless it's for a temporary period of time because of illness of children or illness of relatives. But other than that, God has to have a first place in our lives. If everything is to be followed in a way, if life is to be lived in a way, that he has first place. And then we know, we receive the wisdom, we receive the insight how to follow him and how to serve him. Oh, brothers and sisters, may God give us that gift. St. Ambrose wrote this, "Since no one can be without some trouble, let us strive not to have our troubles caused by our sin. And no one is so severely condemned by another's judgment as the fool by his own, for he is the author of his own evils. Therefore, let us keep away from tasks which are troublesome and fraught with discord, having no advantage, producing only added weight. Yet we should live so as not to regret our decisions or our actions. A wise man usually looks ahead, so he will not often have to repent, for only God never repents. What is the advantage of righteousness but peace of mind? What is the meaning of living righteously but living with peace? As the pattern of the master is, so is the condition of the whole house. If these are needed for a home, how much more so for the church? Let no one think that he is to be paid more deference because he is rich. In the church, a man is rich if he is rich in faith, for the faithful man has a whole world of riches. Is it strange that the faithful man owns the world, since he owns Christ's inheritance, which is more priceless than the world? You were redeemed with the precious blood, surely was said to all, not only to the rich. But if you wish to be rich, follow him who says, 'Be you also holy in all your behavior.' This he says not only to the rich, but to all, because he judges without respect of persons as his faithful witness. The apostle says, 'Spend the time of your sojourning not in luxury, not in fastidiousness, nor haughtiness of heart, but in fear.' That means reverence of God and putting God first. You have been given time on this earth, not eternity. Use the time as those who know they are going to set out from here. This is not my eternal home." Think about that, brothers and sisters. What St. Ambrose is trying is to help us to get our priorities straight. You are going to live forever. But how we live life here determines how we live life forever. So you and I need to be people who've got our priorities straight. And that takes a blessing from God. And if you seek it, you will find it. A blessing from God. God, help me to prioritize my life. Help me to prioritize my ways. Help me to see the direction in which you want me to go. Help me. And if you do that and you do it regularly, God will show you. Don't hold on to anything too tightly. "Well, I can't miss this. Or I can't miss that." Is that true? Is it true that you can't because that will jeopardize something seriously? Or are you saying, "I can't because I want to do this, or I like doing this"? What you want to say is, "Lord, my schedule belongs to you. My days belong to you. My priorities belong to you. This is what I think I should be doing. If you think I should change, will you help me to see what that is?" And then just keep putting it before God. You don't have to ransack all kinds of books. You don't have to talk to all kinds of people. It's good to get counsel from someone. Good to say to someone else, "Am I putting too much emphasis on this or this?" Someone who knows you well, that's a good question to ask. Because then you begin to see your priorities more clearly. And the more clearly you see them, the more you're going to be able to put God first, because you're going to be detached from certain things. We need to be detached, brothers and sisters, from a number of things. We say we have to, but it's really we want to, as I mentioned earlier. So please, I beg you, take a look at this area of your life, where your priorities are. Does God have a rightful place or not? Brothers and sisters, the times are difficult right now in this world. Times are difficult. Times are very difficult in the church. This is a time, brothers and sisters, to take stock of your own life. This is a time to say, am I giving to God what belongs to God? Am I giving to others what belong to others? Am I serving God as He wants me to save? Ask yourself those questions. Don't be afraid of the answers. God will show you the way. God bless you. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.